So we're talking about one of the apostles who's a fisherman, so I thought I'd start with fisherman stories. So the little boy, his name was Eddie, and they were going to go fishing. So the dad's in the garage getting all the tackle and the rods and all that stuff ready. And he and his mom, Eddie and his mom, went out to the garden to dig for earthworms. They needed bait. So as they're digging, they find this insect. Eddie holds it up, and this guy, it's long and has a ton of legs, right? And he says to his mom, he says, look what I found. And she says, no, honey, that wouldn't work for bait. It's not an earthworm. To which he looked with wide eyes, and he says, what planet is it from? If it's not an earthworm. Oh, anyway, okay, we'll move on. All right, question for you all. Why did Batman and Robin quit going fishing together? Y'all know why? Because Robin kept eating all the worms. I have to keep my trend going of bad jokes. All right, so we're looking at a fisherman in our sermon today, and the fisherman is James. And some may think that Andrew and Peter and James and John, who shared a business together, probably told a lot of tall tales, especially when they were relating what they saw about Jesus. Before we get to those special moments that James had, let me tell you a little bit about who he is. James was the oldest son of his parents were named Zebedee, that's his dad, and Salome's mom. The youngest was John. We looked at John last week when my son Brian was here. It was a very common name, James is. In fact, we have another apostle named James, the son of Alphaeus. And Jesus' brother, one of them, was named James. And, of course, we have this James, one of the apostles. His name actually is a variation off of Jacob, and it means supplanter, or someone who moves in to take over, someone who wanted to rule. Literally, that's what it means. He was part of not only the 12 that Jesus chose, but the inner core. Jesus had 12, and then he also had a smaller group that he told deeper things to. That was Peter, John, and James that we're talking about today. Jesus took them aside to share only special things with them. James had a nickname. Y'all remember his nickname? He was one of the sons of thunder. And last week, we talked about with John, that meant he was loud and boisterous. But son of thunder also meant he had an issue with his temper. In fact, one of the stories we have, before the resurrection, the apostles, along with Jesus, had gone to visit a Samaritan village. They were not well received. James thought, in order to show those people a lesson, he said to Jesus, along with his brother John, he says, why don't we call down fire from heaven and destroy them, since they didn't accept you, Jesus? It's a good gospel message, right? You don't agree? You'll be obliterated. Sounds fair to me. Jesus doesn't quite buy into that. In fact, Jesus says, no, we're not going to do that. And this is a problem, you know, for these apostles, we're going to look at what does this mean for us? Well, this is one of the problems that we may have in our modern day time. In the modern day church, is that sometimes we think righteously, we know exactly what the church should be doing. We know exactly what people should be doing. If you disagree with me, you're in the way. And so we're going to call down fire from heaven to eliminate you, to get you out of the way. By the way, it's not good leadership to be able to follow that. But that's part of what James was showing us before the resurrection. That if you don't agree with me, moving you out is proof that I'm right. Now, there's a story told about that. There was a girlfriend who wanted her boyfriend to be a bit more motivated. He was kind of unmotivated. He was lazy. And she thought it was his parents that trained him that way. And she thought if she could only get the parents out of the way, that he would be a better boyfriend. So she prayed to God. She prayed to heaven that which was keeping him, her boyfriend, unmotivated and lazy, that God would send a lightning bolt and eliminate those forces. So God said yes. So she prayed, God, do it now. And a lightning bolt came down and took her away. We sometimes think that we're right, you're wrong. That's not the way God works. That's not the way the church works. That when we dismiss another person's viewpoint and then act on it, we're acting like a son of thunder. That we know what's best. And if you're in our way, you're going to be removed. Whether it be us or God. Instead of practicing the qualities we've already seen in those first apostles, the quality of forgiveness that we saw in Peter, the quality of love that we saw in John, or the quality of seeing a grander viewpoint that we're all put together for a great reason. That's Andrew. James, early in this career he had with Jesus, missed the point. The vengeance is not ours. It's not for us. That's God's viewpoint. That's what God does. Our task is simply to share the truth, and in sharing the truth, we set ourselves free. Now, that's one of the special moments. Interestingly enough, by the way, our Bible does not hide negative moments. Y'all know that? These apostles are demonstrated to show that they are clueless at times. And if you're writing a book to establish a new religion, and you want everybody to accept it, you're only going to put the good things out there, right? The good things. You're not going to put these parts that make them look like they're angry or upset or they don't understand anything. And that's what that story was. We're going to call fire down from heaven. Jesus, just name the word and we got it. Well, that shows that our Bible is real. That these were actually events that occurred because there's no soft soaping here. There's no saying, oh my goodness, look how great they were. Jesus just pushed them in the right direction. Other special moments from James, by the way, that only he and Peter and John witnessed. They witnessed the healing of Jairus' daughter. He was a court official after she passed away. They were the only three with Jesus when he had gave that great prayer in the Mount of Olives. Only those three were invited to go all the way in. And only those three saw what I read earlier, what happened on that mountain that where Jesus was transfigured. And this prepares James and John and Peter for what's next. They saw that Jesus possessed the power of life as he raised that daughter back to life. They saw that Jesus is human like all of us, but he has a special purpose. The purpose isn't to remove the Romans. His purpose is to be God's suffering servant, to come into this world and show that God's with us when we go through our suffering moments, and that the way back to God is to lose that which is in our way. And then in the story I just read earlier about the transfiguration, where Jesus was literally transformed, becomes like he will be in his finery and his glory in days to come, they saw that Jesus is the pairing up of all of history. Jesus meeting with Elijah means that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of God's prophecy. And Jesus meeting with Moses is highlighting the fact that Jesus is the one who's the completion and fulfillment of the law. One thing you need to know about James, though, he was the first of the apostles to be martyred. Herod Agrippa I decided to kind of do something to appease those Jewish radicals. And so he went out into the Christian community, and around the year 43 AD, he took one of the leaders, happened to be James, and killed him with a sword. We were assuming he was beheaded. So what do we learn from James for us? We learn that pride, unchecked, is destructive. Pride in the sense that we want to be more than what we really are. That we want to be something we're not. You know, the interesting, this is highlighted in another story of James and John. They go privately to Jesus and they bring their mom along. And so when they brought their mom, they asked Jesus for something. They wanted to sit on his right or on his left. That James and John wanted to be in two positions of incredible power in Jesus' kingdom. The right position, sitting on the king's right, means that you are the most powerful person in the nation. You would be the one who enforced the law, who would carry the force of the king's power out to the people. The one on the left is the king's greatest, most trusted advisor, sitting in a place in which they could whisper or share thoughts into the king's ears. James and John asked for these two places. Now, interestingly enough, that's pretty prideful. To say to Jesus, we want to sit, we want to demand that we sit in these two places. If they hadn't done that, we could have great respect for them. Because they did it, the end result was dissension and anger among the troops or the apostles. They were so furious over James and John doing this, the initial band started to fall apart. So next time you're tempted to do something that's outside your authority, not given permission to do, maybe you should check that down. You know, do that where your phone starts beeping at you. And you have alert, 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 don't do this, don't do this. When you start to step out into your outside of your authority zone, because that's really God saying, whoa, whoa, your pride, too far. You need to only do what God has asked you to do. The end result, if you check yourself down, respect. If you step out of your authority, discord and dissension. We see this from James and John. Now, interestingly enough, James, before the resurrection, oh, he's a son of thunder. He's willing to take you on. He'll take you down. He's going to claim his place. After the resurrection, and then after the Holy Spirit's given, he's a man of perfect humility. And that's the key to effective living in following Jesus. That's humility. Now, humility here isn't, I'm a doormat, everyone's going to walk over me. No, humility is knowing your place in God's kingdom. Humility is understanding God's given me this task, I'm going to do this task, and when I do this task, giving glory to God, great things happen. When I try and do someone else's job, without permission, sometimes bad things happen. Humility. Interestingly enough, James was never called son of thunder after the resurrection, only before. After he began to follow Jesus, it's amazing he gave his emotions over. He gave his emotional life over to Jesus and allowed Jesus to control that. Allowed Jesus to inform it. Allowed Jesus then to be able to put that in check. And the end result of giving our emotions over to Jesus is what we all desire, which is self-control. And there's power in that. We see that in James's life. In fact, he was so humble, he's willing to go to death to follow Jesus. That was his calling. As hard as that is for us to understand, he understood that he was going to be the martyr, the first martyr in God's new realm. The lesson learned from James is that we're not the same person. When we say to Jesus, I'm going to follow you, I'm all in with my emotions, with my decisions, not just a duty on Sunday, not just I'm going to read my little Bible verse and I'll be done with it. No, everything of who I am, I'm giving it on to you, Jesus. You do what you want with it, but I need this self-control. The end result of James is we saw that he grew up. He grew up in his faith and he grew up in his emotions. No longer is his first response, now his first response is to follow God and to do what God has asked him to do. That's growing up in your emotions, growing up in your faith, only when we do that, giving it to Jesus. Well, let me give you an example as I close this. A high school senior by the name of Megan lived in a small town in South Dakota. She lived in Omaha. And she grew up in the church. But for her, it was always about, I'm going to go and sit and I'm going to do my duty. I'm not really going to give anything on to God. I'm going to appease my parents and do what they ask me to do. When church is over, I'm going to live my own life. When she got to college, because she only had faith about that big, you know, it's about just enough to be able to scratch the surface. When she got to college and all those questions started to roll on to her, her faith was shattered because there was no faith there. She was blessed in college to have a friend who took her to InterVarsity. I don't know if you've all ever heard of InterVarsity. It's a college ministry, and it is concerned with learning, helping people learn about Jesus Christ. Very interactive. And because her faith was practically nothing, all those questions that she had gotten in his first years of college, she then asked on to the leaders of InterVarsity. Questions such as, if your God is so good, why do bad things happen to people? Or the question like, what about those people in Africa who never heard Jesus? Are they going to go to hell? You know, we get those questions. And by the way, if you come faithfully to church and Bible study, we answer these questions. That's the thing, that you go more than, I'm going to sit in my pew, I've given my 55 minutes and 32 seconds, and then I get up and leave. But Megan, that was all she was. So she finally started to hear. We don't have all the answers, but we have a God who knows what history is all about. Slowly, slowly, her faith started to return. And it went from there to here and got bigger and bigger. Because she looked at the questions from a faith viewpoint. She grew up like James did. She went on a mission trip with the InterVarsity to Alaska. And by the way, Alaska, a unique country. And they went to not only start building a church there, but also interacting with the people. And interacting with, it became a Bible study as well, with the InterVarsity leaders. The end result is that she finally learned that as she invests herself fully in, God fully gives answers. When she invests herself fully in, God controls our emotions and gives control over our emotions. As she fully invested herself in, not just doing Sunday morning, not just doing a little bit, but giving herself totally over to Jesus, then love returned. She saw that in her leaders, because her leaders faithfully answered her questions. Even when she asked them again and again and again and again, the leader showed her love. And then she was able to take that love when she was on that mission trip and give it to the people, even though some of them were not lovable. She closed this story that she had written in the InterVarsity magazine with this quote. I want people to know that God is loving and does care about his people. Because without knowing God, it's really hard to live life. And so she shared that as the power of what, when you're fully invested in, what a gift that is. This is what James teaches us. If you stay at a little bit of faith, something's going to rule you. And for James, it was his emotions. But when we expand that faith and allow Jesus to come fully into every aspect of who we are, into our decisions, into our emotions, into our very life, we grow up. We grow up in our faith. We grow up in our emotions. We grow up to be like Jesus. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the wonderful power of the stories we find here and how we can see, as we follow these apostles, how we can see the power that's found in your Son, a power available to us here in this 21st century. Thank you, Lord God, as a result of Jesus sending his Holy Spirit, we can have a check down on those negative emotions, that we can demonstrate truly we've been changed because we've been with you. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're as patient with us as you are. May we learn to grow up, to grow up in your love, to grow up in our faith as we live our life with Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.